afternoon to you.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for letting me love this. Mr. McGeary said that yesterday was having a problem. Mr. McGeary, at one point in time through the daytime, there were two processes acting simultaneously, another was at the same time on Doreen. One could have weakened it, and one could have strengthened it. As a matter of fact, Mr. Dennis Johnson picked up on one of us could have weakened it, but it was two, and it was uncertain. There was no way which way it was going to go. So you might, obviously, the Prime Minister made the path of, cautiousness.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of, I didn't have it recorded, so don't let anybody come around, you've got your notices. The BBC Sanders have actually spoken of what Trump allegedly said. You say he didn't say it, but allegedly he said it. I put a vision problem for you. A nuclear war is a big joke compared to a storm. The only thing it would do is to put radiation into the air, which will come back to land, which will cause more problems. You see, the hand of God is more powerful than anything that man can deliver. Mm-hmm. Now, what I like about the press conference given by the Prime Minister before the event. Remember she spoke about the galvanized?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I find bad, but just don't seem to get that, you know. Do you know how many times I get cut for telling people secure the galvanized because that thing is dangerous, it can blow away easy. But I'm glad she put some emphasis on it. Especially, you got galvanized on top of the roofs also, which just has all my bricks and stuff like that. Even because I've done security even on construction sites. I tell these people, get a container and secure these galvanized sheets, secure certain sheets, permaclad and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Certain things that go secure as projectors, but there's a lot of people don't always seem to understand it. Now, in closing, Mr. Mr. Guy Murray would remember what I told him about the Book of James when he was a moderator. I remember that we joined at the end of the press conference before the event, Ms. Morley paraphrased the same Book of James. And the man of the clock who was involved in government also quoted from the Book of James. In the Encyclopedia Britannica by the Society of Gentlemen's College, it says the Book of James is of Islamic thought. In other words, what James wrote is the same as Islamic thought. And it comes under the heading of Allah, A-L-L-A-E. So Mr. Gill was correct. It was Allah who saved it. Have a good afternoon.
You too. Thank you so much for calling. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, madam.
Good afternoon.
Greetings and salutations to your good self. It is not in my psychological makeup to repeat myself on these talk show programs, but I am forced to reiterate. When black history is rewritten, the Honourable Mayor of Moore Motley would find herself amongst the first three black leaders in the world, namely Nelson Mandela, Barack Obama, and the first female prime minister of Barbados. All visionary, brilliant, knowledgeable, and articulate prime minister has now finally silenced her critics and has proven beyond doubt when, in 2018, she asked all on board, as she was dreaming, daring, and delivering, has shown to all and sundry what leadership is all about. In Beijing terms, she has left Beijing's mouth open. Quoting from her team BIP 2018, and I are determined to deliver new opportunities, lasting prosperity, a bright future for all Barbadians together. Let us create a partnership of government and citizens through which we dare to build the best Barbados.
Well, we are getting some music here in my ears, which tells me it's time for the latest. Welcome back. This WhatsApper says, good afternoon, Madam Moderator. Can you please find out from the Ministry of Education, when will those who applied for the grant assistance for BCC and UWI will know of the approval and collection? I have been going and calling all over the ministry without success. The sad thing is some has, I have no other means of getting payment to get this done for the coming year, and classes begin soon. Another person wants to acknowledge the efforts of David Davis and the Water Warriors over the weekend. And again, I would like to share in that. I thought they did a very good job, and the Water Warriors, I must say, they kind of braved the hot sun on Sunday. And from what I understand, that when they got home, they were actually out of water themselves. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air.
Hello.
Yes, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Am I on the air, please?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
I was holding on here now so long that I actually forgot.
Oh, dear. So sorry about that.
From 20 minutes to 12.
Oh, dear.
Look at the clock now to see how late it is. Anyway, let me, first of all, thank God that the hurricane spared us once again. A hurricane is no small matter for no one that have achieved something to go through. I lived through Janet, and this was a storm now today that was to come yesterday. Mm-hmm. I lived through Janet. I lived through Thomas. I lived through many hurricanes. But thank God we were spared once again, and I must say thanks to the Almighty for that. People got the option but saying God is a bitchin', but it don't work like that. All of us are human beings, and the people in Dominica can tell you what really happened to them more than once. Let me get on to my main point now. I have lived through the conservative government, which you didn't born yet. I have lived through Grant Lee Adams' government. I have lived through Barr's government, Tom Adams, Mr. Arthur, and also like that. We must give thanks to any leader that come along. But what I want to ask you, and I want you to help me here.
Okay.
You see the Democratic Labor Party? I am not speaking about the members that just got thrown out of office. I am speaking about the Democratic Labor Party. Can you tell me if the Democratic Labor Party, which was founded by Barr, have ever done anything good for the people of Barbados?
This, in terms of the previous administration? I think that both governments at some point in time would have done their best. All right, well, let me just narrow it down. Yes, I believe that the Democratic Labor Party, over the years, whenever they were in power, there were still some positive things from Barr days. Even up until the previous administration, I still feel that they could not have gotten 100% of everything wrong.
Yeah,
they just got a lot of things probably not right, but it's not 100% wrong.
Sorry to cross you.
Go ahead.
What I would like some of the moderators, and note the word I'm saying, some of the moderators, to inform the people of Barbados, some of the present members that is in Mayor Motley, Mrs. Mayor Motley, the Prime Minister Barbados cabinet now, they was educated through what Mr. Barr have done. I am not asking you. I am telling you. I was in politics now. I am 91 years old now. And I can tell you that this party would come, party would go. And this is the young people's time. And they vote for Ms. Motley. She have the reins in hand, and I hope that the Lord will bless her, that she will continue to do what she have to do for the people of Barbados. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you, or let me advise you, mm-hmm. some of you moderators get in there, and when some of the detractors of the Democratic Party talk and say bad things about the Democrats. This is the worst thing in the last 10 years was lost. The Democratic Labour Party institution is not responsible for what the members have done to it in the last 10 years or so. So why every
so
time
who's,
that...
who's responsible then if... No, okay, let me be clear. Can I have 1 second so
ahead,
that
me,
I...
Yes,
right.
Ahead.
I totally agree with... I certainly didn't sit in this chair to say anything about the lost decade, nor do I refer to it as the lost decade. No, but I'm speaking now, so I'm in the chair, so I'm just giving you my opinion.
Your opinion.
I think that the Democratic Labour Party, anytime that they find that on this show or via any other news outlet, they should come and defend themselves, and they should also try to bring the facts. Now, if somebody came here on the show, like yourself, you talked about Barrow and free education, and you're correct. And the late Thompson, there are things that various prime ministers and their cabinet would have made some policy decisions that worked. Nobody's saying not. I certainly would not sit here and say for the last 10 years, I thought that everything that they did was incorrect. But if somebody could bring something to the table to say, look, I thought that the DLP did X, Y, and Z and pinpoint the wrongs, then the Democratic Labour Party should come and then say exactly what they did right and help defend themselves, not just the one or two people that call here every day.
There are some people that
to do it.
The program mm-hmm. and would make people believe that the Democratic Party was the worst thing ever set in cabinet. It is not so.
But we must agree on something, however, that over the last 10 years, there would have been some missteps.
There were a lot of issues. But why every time people open their mouth, the Democratic Labour Party is the worst thing, and some of the same people that is in there now mm-hmm. was educated to the Bar Initiative. Mm-hmm. And the moderator should explain to people, well, you can't paint everybody with the same brush, because if everybody is saying the Democratic Labour Party, but it's not the Democratic Labour Party. It is the members who was in there that sit down.
You can only be as good as the leadership, basically. That's what
Thank
you're
you.
Saying. Yes.
Thank
no,
you.
I.
So that meant. That
I agree.
Meant, No.
Listen. Let me ask you a question. Seeing that
yes,
with your wisdom,
I can answer you.
What are your thoughts then on the fact that the former Prime Minister Frondil Stewart?
Sure.
I will say this publicly. I believed then, and I still believe now, that the former Prime Minister Stewart is an upright, good man. I am not going to say different. What the challenges are is that you could like someone in terms of the fact that, okay, he's not a bad person, you know, but are you qualified up to the task of being the leader that the people may want? And that is the question that everybody obviously would have asked, and then the Barbadian population answered it by placing their ex elsewhere.
It doesn't
mean that former Prime Minister Frondil Stewart was a bad person.
He isn't. He sat down there and allowed certain members of his cabinet to do as they like, which would never, listen to the word I use, mm-hmm. I am not need an educated person like you, mm-hmm. which would never happen under Barr. Anybody can tell you what Barr had to do to Dennis Hunt, what mm-hmm. Barr had to do to Connell. What do I have to do to Joy Edwards, mm-hmm. all of those people?
And even the former president.
You understand? Mm-hmm. But at any rate, for the moderators to sit down there and allow people to come in and say, the Democratic Party is this, the Democratic Party. It is not true. We made some bad decisions. Stewart made some bad decisions, which he should give account for.
But did he not hold himself accountable the
he
night
so.
When he lost
the
election.
He did. When he lost the election, he said that he is responsible, but mm-hmm. he was too late then.
Oh, yeah, well, you can only make those type of speeches after the fact.
Had he put down his foot early o'clock, I mean, people wanted to change. Adams came along. The conservative government had us with a tight range.
Mm-hmm.
Adams gave the people some ideas, and they fell for it to put in Adams. Adams went to the federal government. He leave Dr. Cummings, you will know the, what these names I'm calling.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Cummings fall in a trap. Barr come along, put ideas to the people. They fell mm-hmm. for it, they take it, went.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Adams, after 15 years of control, Barr started to lose touch with the people. Tom Adams came along, gave them some ideas. And there is a day going to come, I wouldn't be here, you wouldn't be here, when there is people going to say, well, Miss Motley ain't doing what you want, I can get you rid of she, and I will.
Everybody will have their time. I tell you, the people who are cheering you will eventually jeer you. But I want to ask you another question because I'm fascinated by your wealth of knowledge. What advice would you give now to the Democratic Labour Party as they're trying to rebuild? What advice would you like to give them? Mm-hmm.
I don't get myself mixed up in the politics now because I know what it gives. People tries to brand you. People try to do all kind of unhand things there. But the same tongue that bless you
mm-hmm.
is the same tongue that can curse you.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell Miss DePisa, try her level best and do what she think is right. It ain't going to be easy. Can't be easy. But try her level best and do what is right for the people and try and regroup the party. And if she can do that, there is a day coming that the party would rise again. The Democratic Labour Party, I was helped through the Democratic Labour Party. I vote for all three parties in Barbados. All three parties in Barbados I have voted for. I vote for the Conservative Party, I vote for the DLP Party, I vote for the Barbados Labour Party. But what I will say is, watch, tell Miss Motley also, watch some of the people that is wronger. Because let me tell you, every skin key
ain't
is
enough.
Not enough.
You got and that right.
That's what old people saying.
Yeah.
And I... going on 91 now. I know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I believe you. At 91 years old, trust me, I know you know what you're talking about. I have the utmost respect. I'm actually very sorry that we made you wait so long. Next time you call, you're going to let Dennis know who you are so we can put you through.
Sorry. Let me tell you, politics is a very, very funny game.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very funny game. I always advise my son not to get into politics, nor not to take a lawyer profession. I know what I'm saying.
Yes.
Not to get into politics, nor not to take up a lawyer profession. They got some lawyers are very good. And you would know this too. Mm-hmm. They got some lawyers are scamps. I ain't asking you. I can tell you what two lawyers do to me.
All right, get down to brass tacks. Let us know. Exactly. But with everything, but with the legal profession, yes, you know, we're seeing a lot more question marks than before. Or should I say that we are talking about it a lot more than before. It probably existed, you know, a long time ago. And but not only just lawyers, other professions too, but
I agree with you.
If it's two things, well, I really agree with you. Two things I will stay away from, and I would want my children to. Politics, never become a politician. And, you know, if you can leave the whole lawyer thing out, it would also be good. Not because I don't like lawyers. I just find that the way I raise my children, I don't think that they would want to go into that profession anyway.
I'm going to leave this last one with you. Mm-hmm. Don't take it from me.
Mm-hmm.
You ask anybody in Barbados that older than you, if a politician said, if your initials is DLP, you should starve. You ever heard that?
No.
You never? You ask anybody. And that same politician said,
uh-huh.
He becomes so rich that God can't break him. But God didn't break him, but God take his breath. So you ask in the Bible those two answers. If he said, if your name is DLP, don't come to him for represent. And that man acts as Prime Minister of Barbados.
But I can ask you, I want to ask you another question. How do you feel about, well, I wasn't around Barrow's time in terms of being able to vote, I should say, but I certainly was around young. The type of politics practiced then and now, because what people are saying is, it would be things like, okay, there's this separation. It's like, you've won an election, the B's over here, the D's over there. I'm saying this because of what you just said. If you belong to a particular party, then you starve. Do you find that was what it was back then in Barrow's days and Tom Adams' days?
Mm-hmm. Barrow tried to implement laws for everybody of Barbados. You see, this free secondary education, Barrow said that everybody should have it. But nowadays, people take politics in the turn it upside down to do as they like. But I will give the people of Barbados a warning. If we go down the line that some people in Barbados, listen to the words I say carefully. If we go down the line that some people in Barbados would like certain people to take, we're going down a very, very dirty path. This country belongs everybody. God made the world that every man should live in it. It ain't for X, it ain't for Y, it ain't for Z, it's for everybody. What I would like the moderators to do, take up my advice. When people come from the program and they're going to crucify the Democratic Party only because what those fellas got in there and causes the state we used to be in. Explain to them it is not them that caused it. Barclay is level best. So if we find ourselves in the state and Ms. Motley is trying out to correct it, I wish her all the best. But warn them. It ain't the Democrat level. Stuart allowed them to sit down. He sit down there and allowed them to do as they like. And we find ourselves now in this mess. But Ms. DePisa will rise again. We won't be around. I won't be around. I ain't got very long on this earth now. I can tell you that. You understand? But she will rise again. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. I so enjoyed that conversation. Thank you. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Good afternoon. 1 minute after one.
Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
How are you, Joanne?
I am very well, and you?
I am as good as the weather.
Well, I haven't been outside for the last hour or two, a couple hours, so I hope it's good weather.
Anyway, I'm calling to add my congratulations to the superb management of the affairs of this country dealing with the storm by our Prime Minister. It was fantastic. But what I would like to add to my remark is that I'm a bit concerned over this quarters. I believe that there should be another solution that could give similar results. Because when I look around and see people who are 80 and 90 didn't get a cent from CLECO during the impasse with their funds and insurance that they had, I feel to give the squatters $23,000 is an affront to these poor people that are still suffering. And that's why I'm concerned. I don't know if you have any view on that.
Well, I think if you listened earlier, I'm not in agreement with giving the squatters money. Of course, we know that whatever we do, it must be done in a humane way. But then we look at the other side where we have people in Barbados right now that need help.
And, that's right.
And a lot of help. And it may send the wrong message, you see.
And that may even cause people to have a desire to be squatters, thinking they'll get $23,000.
Well, I'll be honest with you. When I found out that after a certain amount of years, I said, okay, so 30 years ago, if I'd found somewhere in St. Thomas, I would be okay now. In other words, it sends the wrong message because it would encourage people to squat. It can. You have to look at all of the pros and the cons for this and really see what kind of message it would be sending. And I so agree with you on that one.
Well, I hope they could find a solution that is justifiable and will not create the backlash that this may do.
What do you think about if they do, they go in and they do the survey, they see who's working and who isn't, and more like a means test. You offer them land at a nominal fee price that they can afford, but simultaneously, you're out there helping the other people who are not squatting that need your help. In other
That's
words,
right.
They're going to have to balance this so it doesn't come off to be like, you know, leave a bad taste in the mouths of those who are currently on the welfare system that have been begging for help, those who have been waiting for housing for 20 years and
That's
can't get a house.
That's a very good idea.
You know?
I'm not xenophobic, but the fact is that a lot of these people are not Barbadians either.
Well, we don't know that. I haven't heard that officially yet. I would have to wait until I've heard that there are actually more Barbadians than. But again, I think the bigger issue is squatting is illegal regardless of what race, nationality.
By paying out this money, you are endorsing breaking the law.
I agree. And what do you think about the... Well, the one in Rock Hall is a little bit different than the squatters in the Bell and Licorice Village, my lords, because that's on a zone one. And I said this last week and I will repeat. They can, again, go in there and do a survey, a means test, offer them this land at a price and let them stay there. But then they would have to put in what you call a sewage system and a filter bed in order to protect the zone. So the solution for the ones in the Bell on the zone one is a little bit different to what's happening in Rock Hall. Yeah, but Rock Hall, you would have to move for sure. The zone ones, you may not have to move because there's a lot of people living in Bellevue and Licorice Village that are squatting right now. And I mean for many, 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 many years and years. And you should actually offer them maybe $3 a square foot. Let them pay for the land. Let them pay land tax like everybody else. But again, you got to go in there and do a means test to see who can afford what. And I'm sure there are a lot of people who are squatting who have jobs. They have cars, you know. So it's something that we need to find out who can afford what.
Right.
And then take it from there. That's how I would do it.
The natural tendency is a freeness. If you don't have to pay for it, you wouldn't pay for it.
Anyway, well, we could all get a piece of land for God like that. That's human nature. Human nature is if it's out there and they can get it for free, they're being offered for free, they're going to take it. You think that they're not going to take that $25,000 happily?
That's right.
They would, definitely.
Anyway, I hope that they find a solution that would be better than this one.
I think that they need to dig a little bit more in terms of improving on
that
solution.
That.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Du, for your call. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This WhatsApp message says, good afternoon, Joanne. Listening to the CEO of the BAS commenting on the impact of the hurricane on farmers on his land has prompted me to ask you if it is humane and normal for cows to be left out in the open grazing grounds all night and all day, especially during inclement weather. 7 cows are staked out at Bottom Bay St. Philip 24/7. I saw them yesterday evening and then again early this morning. Do farmers care for the welfare of the animals, especially those exposed to potential lightning strikes? I mean, that's a good question. I think that the our animals in terms of a storm. I think we need to do more education or information sharing on that, because I heard someone talking about your pets, but no one mentioned things like cows and pigs and, you know, chickens and so on. What do you do in order to make sure that they're safe? So that's an interesting one. Anyone who knows how best to protect your animals during a storm, outside of the dogs and the cats, you know, it would be good if you want to call and share that information with us. I'm not sure if they allow cows to stay there. They may be small farmers and they don't have anywhere else to put them. And if you're saying you can't keep them chained, well, then if they run off, then they may hurt someone or themselves. Interesting question. This is Down to Brass Tacks, 113. You are on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Oh, I was wondering when you were going to call, because I wanted to ask you about the Barbados Defense Force, because last week you made it very clear that the role of the Defense Force is to protect the Prime Minister and the Cabinet over the years. But I was glad that you called, because I wanted to say to you that during a crisis, a natural disaster, they do play a bigger role than just protecting the Prime Minister and her Cabinet, in this case, our Prime Minister and previous Prime Ministers, that they do actually a lot more in terms of humanitarian aid, not only just for this island, but for other islands. So let me just get that in before you start on with your presentation.
Okay, I mean, you haven't refuted what I have said, so, you know.
No, but you're very, very clear, and I asked you, and I repeated it. So you're saying that the BDF's sole role is to protect a Prime Minister and the Cabinet, and you said yes. So I am just trying to tell you that based on the facts, that may be one portion of it, because the Prime Minister and the Cabinet happens to be part of the population in the country. So they're to protect the Prime Minister, the Cabinet, and the people of this country.
No. They are to protect the Cabinet and the Prime Minister against the people of this country. Not to protect the people of this country, but to protect them from the people of this country. That is the point.
So you don't see any other role for the BDF?
I don't see the BDF as being sufficiently armed, sufficiently weaponized to carry on any greater role than that.
So what about the humanitarian aspect of the BDF? Do you know that they're trained
the taxpayers
in
are
other...
paying their salaries, so they can find other reasons to keep them employed.
But it's not about other reasons. All armies all over the... Well, most of them. I don't know what's happening in Iran and Iraq. But certainly they call out the armies and stuff in terms of storms and to help people and to deliver aid. I mean, truthfully, you're entitled to your opinion. I just think it's a little... sad. I'm using that word sad regular today, that you can't see it to be more than that. But hey, you know what? If your vision can only carry you so far, it's your vision and not mine. But make your presentation.
By that comment alone, you've criticized my view.
No, I said it's your vision. I'm saying it's your vision. I can clearly see up until last year the BDF risking their lives to save people with floods and so on. But if that is what you want to say, it is your opinion. I don't agree with it. I respect your opinion, but let's move on.
I don't think you do, because you overtalk all the time. You know,
you messaged me and you said that to me, and you're one person to say that I overtalk, but you go ahead. Floor is yours.
The U.S. Army sends their people to Barbados all the time to paint buildings of old people too. But it doesn't mean that they are not there to invade countries and ensure the livelihood of the transnationals that support the U.S. administration and Israel. U.S. Army is there to protect them and their interests, not the interests of the people of the United States. So the fact that they come to Barbados and paint buildings and repair, in fact, the Harbor Row was built by the military that was occupying the space in St. Lucie. That Harbor Row was built by them as a concrete road. It doesn't make them any better than they really are. It doesn't make them great people on earth. Their particular role is defined. They are there to protect transnationals, the people who fund the political parties in the United States, and that is the end of it. Whatever they do is icing on the cake. I'm sorry, but I do not agree with you.
You can apologize for who you are, so go right ahead.
Come on. All right. That gentleman, you know, I want to talk about leadership, but the gentleman, that old guy, 90 years old, you know, has given a presented an opportunity to introduce the same topic but using his particular argument, which is completely and totally, I agree with nothing that an 80-year-old guy has said. Not one. I was going to round up and say, okay, give you a 2%. But there's nothing that old gentleman say, and it's not a matter of disrespecting his opinion.
Why would you say that? Why don't you?
I do not agree with what he's saying. I agree with nothing of what he said. So I think when you get to that level of disagreement...
Pull a little part out of what he said that you don't agree with and tell me why. Just a piece.
The most offensive part is saying that the last prime minister allowed the people, his ministers, to do what he liked. Mm-hmm. You know, there was... I want to talk about leadership, but sometimes people force you to respond to them because of the things that they say and the kind of spin that they put on history, because it is there, it is history. But it's important that it's properly recorded, properly told.
Mm-hmm.
The cabinet, he had a cabinet, but there was a reason for an eager 11. An eager 11, as they were dubbed by the press, represented 11 people that did not agree with the prime minister. It was as simple as that. No, we could easily have an eager 17 here in Barbados right now. Right now, that do not agree with the prime minister, as she is in the things that she is doing.
Stick a pin. Can you tell me I talk too much? And somebody's here messaging me and saying, well, you talk too much, but hold on a second. If there was an eager 11 somewhere in the world, okay, and the eager 11 eventually was not so eager anymore, and a leader remains, well, who to blame? The eager 11, the design.
You have a prime minister who's probably 2 decades older than the other members of parliament, who has a different approach to doing things, and who really and truly, I don't think he represented the majority.
But
of people.
Okay, let me simplify it.
Right,
if I had a relationship with you, and I don't like you, and I want to get rid of you, mm-hmm. but I end up spending the next 5 years with you,
mm-hmm.
who's to blame?